Again, George Norrie's got a bit of a cold tonight, so I'm stepping in. And tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, it's Jim Elvidge. And he has a book called The Universe Solved. And we'll talk to him about how close his theory is to something like The Matrix. But it's very interesting, and he's a great guest, and it'll be tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. Well, okay, here's the update, part two, for the Kevin from Canada versus JC on-air theological smackdown. And Kevin?
Yes?
Now, what was when you originally called, what did you accuse JC of being a coward?
Yes, because JC is a heretic to his own doctrine. JC, are you waiting on the line here? Is JC waiting on the line?
No, you scared him. He's running from you. You've got him scared. We opened up a line for him. We said, you know, call, and we kept on. We checked everybody. We kept hanging up on people. No, JC. So he hasn't called in yet. So Kevin, I'm saying maybe you haven't turned up the heat on him enough yet to beat the bushes to get JC to call.
Well, you know what? So, like I said, JC is a coward. That is what he is.
If you want to really get his goat here, Kevin, I'm going to give you a suggestion here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to clear your throat as clearly as you can on the phone. I want you to say, JC, if you don't call me, you're a Unitarian. Because that would crush him. That would mean a lot worse to him than being called a coward. Okay, well, so try that, Kevin. Try that
JC,
right there.
How dare you? You are a Unitarian. You will not call me. I've challenged you for months, JC. Yeah.
That's it. Now you're really you're cutting to the bone on that. And in fact, I would be surprised, you know, if he doesn't call. And we took your number down, right? Tom Danheiser took your number down. So if he calls between now and the end of the hour, we'll get you back on and you can talk to him, okay?
Okay, well, I got to say this. Everybody on Pal Talk, they're all cheering me on here. They want me versus JC.
Now that you've called him a Unitarian, though, I mean, I'm a little bit worried. Maybe I went too overboard on that. So be careful you don't see somebody driving around your house, Kevin, in like an El Camino. If you see something like that, don't go outside. That's probably JC. So,
I'm not worried about that whatsoever. You know what? I am everything JC hates.
Yeah.
I'm everything he hates. I'm Canadian. I'm a Democrat. Okay. I voted for the NDP. I'm gay, and I'm French.
Okay. Well, let me just say right there, be careful, though. If he should kick in your door, like if this gets out of hand or something, you might want to just have, like, a Playboy magazine handy and flash that at him as he comes in, because that's like showing, like, a cross to a vampire. He's the women's naked boobs, and he'll, like, he'll start melting. So be ready for that. Okay.
Maybe I'll just go to the door naked and scare him off, you know.
Well, that would be a conversation starter maybe too. So, all right, Kevin, so we've got your number. Hang on.
Okay.
And we'll see whether or not JC picks up your challenge coming up sometime later on. And we've got your number, and hey to everybody at Pal Talk. And we'll look forward to see whether or not we get our show down tonight or whether we need to hold on to this for tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. In the meantime, let's go ahead and grab, let's see, who do we have here? Jim. Oh, I'll tell you what, now let's get the break in, then we'll come back. We'll get everybody lined up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Yeah, before I go to the phones, I just want to make sure that I understand this. Can you check back at the studio, Curious? Maybe I'm just not getting something on the computer. On line four, is that somebody holding on for me on the wild card line, on wild card line four? Because I don't have a name up on my screen. Is that intentionally blank? Okay, good. Just checking. Then I go on to Brent in Center, Texas on Coast to Coast AM. Brent, where are you going to take us?
Well, sir, like the other two callers, my thunder is stolen just a little bit myself.
From what?
Information. A little bit of information on William Cooper.
Oh, well, I'm going to do a whole show on him coming up. So, I mean, I think we got a lot on there. I think we'll just hold on till we'll do a whole show. I think he's good. I think it sounds like a great topic.
Yeah. One real quick thing. I'm going to give you a third scenario on how he died.
Oh, okay. There's a third story of how he died?
Yes, sir. From what I've read, of course, on the internet, he was at his house or his ranch or wherever he lived. There was, he heard some loud music being played, like, near his driveway. Went to go check it out. Figured out who it was. It was undercover police agencies or police officers. So he ran back to his house, grabbed a gun, and figured, you know, this is the end. And there was a shootout. He wounded one of the deputies or the police officers, and they eventually got him. Now, the kicker is on this, the police came out and said they were going to arrest him for not paying his taxes.
Hmm. So they weren't going to shoot him. They were just there to arrest him for not paying his taxes.
Yes, sir. One of, if you've ever seen any videos, like on YouTube or of him, he's a excellent public speaker. I mean, he just fills the room with his voice. That's one of the things that had caught my attention in the beginning of researching him.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm definitely looking into him, and I will see if we can't find definitively how he died. It would be a pity, especially in light of the fact that Wesley Snipes beat so much of the rap against him. He didn't get it all, but you know, I mean, you can survive a charge for not paying your taxes. And Brent, thank you for adding to the Bill Cooper momentum as we get him booked coming on the show coming up soon on Coast to Coast AM. And Jim is in Vancouver on Coast to Coast AM. Jim?
That would be me?
Yep.
Hi.
Hey.
So I just wanted to clear a couple things up regarding Canada, I suppose.
Okay.
Where are you, Ian?
I'm in Minnesota.
You're in Minnesota. And it's chilly there right now?
It's the state of hockey, the land of 10,000 rinks.
The Wild. Are you near anywhere where the Wild play?
I can hit it with a rock from where. If I had a decent slap shot, I could probably hit the XL from where I am.
You're
so
joking.
Yes.
Well, they got a pretty good team this year.
Yeah, they do.
We've got a great rivalry going, the Canucks and the Wild.
Yeah, I was actually looking at grabbing me some tickets coming up soon. I'd love to see the Wild.
How much would you just by the way? How much would you have to pay for like a pair of tickets to go see the Wild?
You know, that's a really good question because fortunately I get them from work. So I don't think I've ever actually looked at the price, which sounds like I'm a real cake eater, but I get occasionally, if I put my name into the hopper, I'll get a drawing for them a couple of times a year. So that's what I was thinking about doing. I want to say $28 for cheap seats. Does that sound about right?
Maybe real cheap ones, I guess. Yeah,
maybe 30, maybe 35 when it's all said and done. But
this
it's
is Vancouver. I think we just had our 200th sellout, a straight sellout or something like that. They're really expensive. I mean, once you get parked and you get a beer or two and a hot dog or whatever.
You didn't ask about beer and hot dogs. Yeah, there's definitely the. I'm not saying that's what you get away with for the night, but there's a lot of competition for the sports dollar here in town with, you know, with the Timberwolves, with the Twins.
Right.
There's a local AAA ball club with the Vikings. And so I think everybody's got to stay a little bit competitive to the season ticket holder.
I gotcha. Right. So anyway, being in Minnesota, you would know what that other maritime province would be, right?
No, I don't. In fact, I thought that was really interesting, and I hadn't heard that described that way. So I learned a little something
tonight. The Maritimes?
Yeah, I had not heard that used for those provinces in that same collective way.
Okay. So you didn't watch Bob and Doug McKenzie on SCTV when you
watched that all the time, but somehow that part didn't sink in. I can sink in. I can still do my 12 Days of Christmas, and I loved that particular sketch, but I didn't catch on to that.
Sing the little intro.
Wow, okay.
Cool. So how long have you been in Minnesota?
I passed, don't I?
Yeah.
About 8 years or so.
That's
but
all.
So let me ask you real quickly about the flag. I just want to say, what is that true that generally on like on Canada Day, everybody puts out a flag and it's not considered a big thing either way?
Most certainly, I would think so. But especially around Canada Day, I know my mother used to do it, for some reason, it doesn't have the same feeling or connotation, say, that flag waving in the States would, I would think.
Right.
You got to realize that for decades, I don't know how many hundreds of years, Canada has been the little brother to America, basically. was it Pierre Trudeau, I think? Somebody asked him, what's it like living next door to the United States? And he said, it's like sleeping next to an elephant. Did you ever hear that?
I've never heard that, but yeah, I will tell you from our perspective, of course, and I've always said this about Canada, because Canadians are always quick to be able to comment on what they think we should or shouldn't be doing, that I always think of Canada as like America's hall monitor.
Wow.
And you guys are right there always to write us up if we're running too fast or talking too loud. And Jim, we'll just leave it there. Thank you. Let's go to Lou in San Francisco on Coast to Coast AM. It's open lines. Lou?
Hi, Ian.
Hey, where are you going to take us?
I'm going to take you to the Black Ops helicopters.
The Black Ops helicopters we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, you mean?
Yeah, I emailed you about how it worked over there on Nellis.
We were talking about this with James Childs, and he has a new book out about helicopters, and he wrote a very interesting article for, I think it was for the Air and Space Museum magazine, and it was about the origin of the black helicopters and their actual existence and how it could be proven and which kind of helicopters they were talking about and what missions they can be verified to fly on, not to mention the ones that we don't know about. Yeah. So what was your email about?
Yeah, I was in New York back there in 06. And I was staying at a hotel over on near the heliport on 11th Avenue, and that's where a whole bunch of there was helicopters taking off in and out police mostly every 2-3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, and one morning about 10 o'clock, there was this black one, CH 46, which is a double rotor type one.
That's the ones that are extra silent.
I don't know. No, these are the troop carriers.
Oh, okay.
All right. Marine Corps.
I see. Kind of like those big Hueys or something like that.
Yeah, these are big troop carrier like type ones. And I wrote that instead of carrying troops, imagine how much equipment they could actually put in it to do whatever they're doing out there.
Well, but I think the key thing, and this is part of what, and thank you, Lou, I think this is part of what James Childs was writing about, was it isn't just the fact that they're painted black. It's the fact that they had to be equipped to be silent. And so I don't know if you had a standard sort of double rotor helicopter, a big one, that you could be very stealthful in that. Maybe they've gone devices on there like they did on the other ones, but that was why the Black Ops helicopters were really so special, is the how they could be so close to you and you would not even know it. How close could they get before you were able to detect them? And and I refer you to his new book on helicopters and also to that article that's in Space Magazine. Let's go to the first time caller line. Heather is in Lima, Ohio on Coast to Coast AM. Heather?
Hi. I wanted to talk about the obesity versus smoking and what's being taught to our children.
Okay.
I have children that are in school, and in Ohio, I don't know how many other states have it, but in Ohio, there's a new campaign called Stand, and it's about teaching kids and getting people to quit smoking and kids to never start. And by all means, I applaud that, and I think it's wonderful. However, it's boiled down into the schools where you can buy T-shirts to wear to support non-smoking. And they put the living fear in children about it, to where my children are, you know, absolutely mortified that their grandma's going to die. And anybody, you know, it's just out of hand. However, obesity, even the caller that called earlier that was speaking, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody. It's politically incorrect to say to somebody that, you know, it is wrong, you're taking two seats. And it is, you know, unhealthy. And obviously diabetes and everything else that goes on, it's wrong also, and that's not being taught in school. They have another thing here.
Wait,
too, where
let me back you up on something. Let me say, when you say it's wrong, what do you mean it's wrong to be obese?
I think it's for one thing, it's unhealthy. And when they're talking about, I'm a nurse, So let's say it this way.
Right.
They make a big thing about smoking and how, oh, it's so unhealthy and you're going to die if you do and blah, 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 blah. But they don't talk about with obesity, with the hypertension and with diabetes and, you know, people lose their toes and their feet and their lives to obesity. But yet it's socially acceptable and you have to walk on eggshells to not offend anybody. You can say a smoker stinks, but you can't say that, you know, it's gross to be 500 pounds and you can't clean yourself. And that's
and you want to be able to say that.
I don't want to call someone. What I'm saying is everybody doesn't want to, no one wants to actually say that it's a problem. And rather than educating children when they're young and saying, hey, this is healthy eating habits and this is how you need to, you know, to be healthy, they pinpoint one app, you know, one little thing, which is smoking, and scare them. But yet if they want to have, you know, breakfast in the morning, they have this other program where it's No Child Left Behind, where everybody gets fed breakfast. You can only get chocolate milk. You know, I've taught my kids the right way to eat. My son can't get a white milk for breakfast, you know, at school. And I think it's absolutely ludicrous. And if I try to find a slim pair of jeans, you can't find them in his size, but you can find a billion Huskies, you know.
Right.
And I think that rather than, you know, talking about the situation where low self-esteem and high suicide rates and unaccepted when you're, you know, 200 pounds and you're 13, you know, what that does to a child. We don't want to upset anybody by educating them against being unhealthy.
Right. So let's
just take one little atmosphere and not, and completely ignore the other because we don't want to offend somebody.
I think
that's a disgrace to our society that we can't actually change that.
I have a question for you, though. This is a sincere question. It may sound obnoxious, but it's not.
Sure.
Is the, and I think you, there's some real common sense in what you're saying, but help me understand the difference between walking up to somebody and talking about their weight as opposed to walking up and talking to somebody out of the blue about being a sinner.
About being a sinner.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, none of us enjoy those conversations.
Things. You're talking religion versus health. And I'm saying if you can walk up to a smoker and tell him you're unhealthy, you're going to die, you're going to get lung cancer, you know it's stupid to smoke, it's, you know, all the little things, then why is that socially acceptable, but it's not acceptable to then speak to somebody obese and say, you know, hey, the reason why maybe you're losing, you know,
You're missing my point. I get what you said.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying to you is, you said you're losing your life, and for people who are profoundly evangelically religious, they believe you're losing your life by your behaviors, and they feel like they should have the right to walk up to you anywhere and judge your behaviors and tell you how you're acting and how it's affecting your eternal life.
Right.
And I bring that up to you because I just want to put that in your mind a little bit, and other people too. I just be very clear about, I think in a way this whole thing about getting smokers and getting people who are fat, I think is turned into this thing as sort of the acceptable new lepers in our society, and who we can point the bony finger of blame at and say, Jacques, you sinners. And I think it scratches an, well, I'm just telling you, you can dismiss it if you want, but I just think it scratches an itch within people somewhere to be able to say that. And I don't see a huge difference between that and somebody walking up and saying the slutty way you're acting, it's going to get you in the end. And I don't know, I think there's a kind of a new sort of fundamentalism that's out there when it comes to that. And I'm reluctant to endorse any of that. I'm more live and let live, but I appreciate your point, and I think you make some good ones in there, and I'll think about those. Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. So going to our last half hour here, I'm afraid we're not having any luck trying to find JC. We kept a line open for him, and we were trying to track him down, but no, so far, he's running scared from Kevin, and Kevin was even calling you a Unitarian, JC. You're listening, but he hasn't taken the bait. So we'll hopefully tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, we'll be able to hook up Kevin and JC and make a go of the big showdown that Kevin's been hoping for. Because as he said, he's everything JC isn't. He's a Democrat, he's Canadian, and he's gay. And some might even argue he is everything that JC wants to be. So anyway, we'll find out tomorrow night. We'll see if we can't get them together on Coast to Coast AM. In regard to that last caller, again, I think she makes some interesting points, and I think that's fair. But I also think that there's a lot of folks out there that are on a hair trigger. They want to just nut up on somebody. They're dying to nut up on them. They want to tell them off. They want to be able to say what you're doing wrong. And I'm influenced by a conversation we were having on my other radio show earlier this morning about the topic of dirty looks. How many different dirty looks do you get in a week? And who do you get your dirty looks from? Who's always shooting dirty looks? And for what? And like some people were getting dirty looks because they showed up at their daycare center drinking coffee out of a McDonald's cup. So they got a dirty look for that because that meant that they'd gone to McDonald's. I'd gotten a dirty look from somebody because I had a Caribou coffee gift card, which showed that I was getting my coffee from a chain store. Other people are getting dirty looks because they wear furs. Some people get dirty looks because their blouse is too low cut. Some people get dirty looks for, and then fill in the blank. I just think we got a lot of reasons to be given dirty looks. I think everybody ought to just back off a bit. And if you're not hurting anybody, and I think most things aren't, hopefully then, nature will take its course. Maybe you'll get with it. Maybe you won't. But I hope that more people can live free than it seems like right now. Everybody's very quick to want to judge all the time. Maybe I'm doing the same thing and I'm being a hypocrite. I don't know. We'll do open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. It's a Tuesday in Long Beach, California on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines. Where are you going to take us Tuesday?
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Thank you.
Good. Well, I'm gonna tell a good ghost story.
I love that.
Train ghost story. I live in a very active haunted house. I've been here for quite a long time. And one afternoon, something caught the side of my eye, and I noticed that there was a ghost that came through my hallway door. It was in full apparition. She was dressed as if she was traveling. She had a bag in her hand. It was like a real old, like, kind of canvas bag.
Right.
Dressed with her nice top hat on. And right behind her came a gentleman with his nice clothes on. Same thing, apparition stuff. And one came after another. And then it seemed to stop for a second. And then came the next set of people off. And what it was a train.
Hmm.
And they seem to have different type of clothing on, more lower class, not as nice as the first set of these apparitions that were coming through the closet door.
You mean there's classism even in the beyond?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't notice it until actually the third set of ghosts started coming through the door. And by this time, there was about 30 ghosts that were standing behind me.
All right.
And I started noticing how they came out. They were really poor looking. No shoes on their feet. No, they were really like kind of dirty looking. Their baggage was made out of like pillowcases or like out of like gunny sacks. And I kept counting them and 38, 39, got up to the 40s. Into the 49th ghost finally came through the door. And she turned around and looked at me and she says to me, "Mom, you had better step back. You're going to get run over from the train."
And how creepy is that?
Well, it was very creepy because I didn't at first understand where they were coming from. And I turned around to look and noticed that they all had their baggage in their hand. So I turned around.
Wait, you still got to carry luggage in the afterlife?
They still have luggage with them. Well,
that
was,
sucks.
It was a train wreck. And that's what the last thing they remembered was being on this train.
Hmm. And so what happened? Did anything come by once she said stand back?
Well, I told the last ghost for her. I says, "You know what? You're at the wrong place. You need to go back to the train you were on because you're at the wrong station." And they turned around and just one by one started floating right back through the closet door. This happened twice in about a year's timing. We finally figured out that it was on a ley line, that this train had crashed. And what we end up doing is taking some copper rods and hammering it into the earth, and which broke up the ley line.
Well, I mean, I'd be interested in I mean, if you, here's me. I would have had a camera ready, trying
time.
To catch that the second time it was.
Second
I mean, just did you?
We didn't get the full thing on film, but we got the later half of it when they were turned around going back into the closet.
And what happened to this video?
We still have the video.
Well, could you send that to us?
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'm going to put you on hold because I want to see that. And I think that'd be totally cool. Tom, would you talk to Tuesday and see if you can't find a way for us to get a copy of that video? Ken is in Phoenix on Coast to Coast AM on the Wild Card Line. Ken?
Yes. I want to tell a story about uncontrollable laughter.
Okay.
My office mate, who was building a garage on his weekends, was telling me how he lost a fingernail, and he was whining about it. And so I explained to him, what you do is you take a drill bit and you twirl it in your fingers against the nail until it drills through and a little drop of blood will pop out and it relieves the pressure and you won't lose your fingernail. Well, a few days later, I came in on Monday morning and he attacked me with a verbal assault that would turn the air blue. And I took a while, and I finally calmed him down to ask him, you know, what was wrong? What was he mad about? Well, it turns out that that weekend, he had smashed another finger, and he remembered what I said, and he picked up an electric drill and put it against his fingernail to drill a hole through it. And, of course, when the drill popped through, it went right into his finger. And then when he let off of the trigger, it slowed down, and then it caught and twisted the finger. And about that time, I broke out into uncontrollable laughter. I couldn't help myself.
How long did it take him to heal?
Well, I don't know that, but when I finally, I was holding the side with one hand and wiping tears out of my eyes with the other hand, and I finally calmed down enough to where I could ask him or tell him, says, well, at least you won't lose your fingernail.
Right, right.
And he held up this big bandaged finger and pointed it up and said, I can live with a missing fingernail, but I can't live with this hurting finger.
Gosh.
Well, and I burst into laughter again, and I couldn't stop.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that story with us, and I never knew that, but whether you could do that or not. So I'll be very careful, but I may try that myself sometime. Eddie is in Dallas on Coast to Coast AM. Eddie?
How you doing, Ian?
All right. How are you?
Doing good. I wanted to leave a message for Kevin that's waiting on JC.
Who wants to have this big showdown with JC? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not JC and nowhere near it, but I am gay and I'm from Texas. And if he wants a date, I want his number.
You want his number?
You bet.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind, and if he expresses some interest, then I will let you know. I'm sure I'm prepared to do a lot of dating service work here, but hang on, Eddie, and we'll get your number, and you guys can at least be pals. West of the Rockies, Joe is in Sacramento on Coast to Coast AM. Joe?
Hi, Ian. Hi,
hey there.
You there?
I sure am. Go ahead.
Just bear with me because I'm really nervous. I've never done nothing like this before.
All right.
This is a really great show. I mean, I just found it a few days ago, and I've been hooked ever since. But what I wanted to talk about tonight was UFOs. I really believe that what people are seeing is they're actually seeing something flying, but it's from here. I believe that they are demons here, and they're tricking us to make us believe that they're from another planet. I don't believe that they're from another planet. I do believe that they are from here. I mean, I've had experience with demons before, you know, and I just know that they do things to trick us, you know, to just...
What would be the trick? What would be the... what's the purpose of creating this whole UFO thing for the demons?
You know, I haven't figured that one out. I'm sorry, I don't got all the answers, but I know that they want us to, they want to mess with us, you know, because it's like their job to make our lives miserable, you know, and I don't know why they would want to do that, but I really believe that It is them, because a lot of the stories I heard about the abductions, I've had those kind of things happen to me myself, but not abductions. But I know when that evil spirit comes to me, it's the same kind of way. You know, I'm held down. I can't scream. I can't talk, but I know there's something on me, and I can feel it there, you know? And I actually seen them in my dreams before.
Yeah, have you been attacked by evil spirits before then?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And so that's what you think people are seeing?
Yes,
that,
I do. And I think they can materialize to be look like an alien. You know, I think they can materialize to that.
All right. Well, very good. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to run this. We'll have a conversation about the universe coming up tomorrow night. You might want to be tuning in for that. Glad to have new listeners, of course, all the time on Coast to Coast AM. But tomorrow night, it'll be Jim Elvidge, The Universe Solved. And we'll see where he is with all of those things on Coast to Coast AM. First, Robert is in Shreveport, Louisiana, on Coast to Coast. Robert?
Good morning, Ian.
Hi, where are you going to take us?
I have a third and final report about the death of William Cooper.
Okay. It'd be fourth and final.
Okay, so fourth and final.
We've heard three different versions of how...
Well, I had this obituary that I printed off the internet at the time, but basically what I'd heard, he had a two-hour radio show called The Hour of Time that was on like 15 years before 9/11. He went through the shortwave circuit. He was on WWCR for a while, WBMI, and WRMI in Miami, and finally ended up on Alan Weiner's station, WBCQ, The Planet. And anyway, he was working feverishly after 9/11, you know, but apparently a bunch of non-uniformed Apache County Sheriff's deputies came to the bottom of his hill making a lot of racket, breaking beer bottles, and he thought it was a bunch of kids, and he went down there to check it out, and they shot his dog, Crusher, and he was heading back up the hill, and they shot him in the back. But what it says on obituary here is it appears to have been totally unrelated to his disputes with the federal government. All we know at this time is that he was shot and killed by an Apache County sheriff around 12:15 a.m. Tuesday, November 6, 2001, while he was serving an arrest for a local issue. See, okay. He had a pirate radio station that he operated there. I forget the name of the little community. I'm always thinking of Pahrump where Art lives,
sure.
But I think it was in New Mexico. But I can't remember the name of the little community. But he had about a 60-watt little pirate radio station. But I don't think they were serving something on. It didn't have anything to do with the IRS that I heard.
Okay.
But
well,
anyway,
I'll look
Alex
into this.
Alex Jones wouldn't have any listeners at all if it weren't for Bill Cooper saying, this is not the Alex Jones show. And Alex Jones is always saying he predicted 9/11 years, you know, weeks before it happened. And if he archived his show on cassette tape back at the time. Why doesn't he just play the tapes? If he was talking about on the...
with George the other night. I'll tell you what, we're going to do a show on William Cooper, and I'm sort of more intrigued than ever, and we'll see if we can't find some authority, some biographer that knows it all. Chuck is on the first-time caller line in New Iberia on Coast to Coast AM. Chuck?
Morning, Ian. This is Chuck. How you doing?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Listen, I wanted to chime in on the obesity issue that the nurse had called in earlier about. Myself, I wouldn't categorize smokers and people that are obese together, but I think the point she was trying to make was that what they have in common is they're both a choice you make in most cases for obesity. Of course, there's people who have diseases and problems, whether it be hereditary or something with their a glandular problem, but for the most part is due to overeating, especially in this country. I mean, I've been to other places in the world, and you know, obesity is, United States is the only place that's a really, really big problem.
Well, just so you know, that's actually not true. It's happening all over the world, and it comes with this, you know, with prosperity and the ease of gathering food. And in communities, you know, where this is happening, where this goes on all the time, England is another example. We don't exactly look svelte by comparison, but we're not as bad as you think. But let me ask you though. You said it. You said the magic words. These are decisions that you make, right?
That's right. I mean,
why does everybody else have to get involved? Why does everybody else have to get involved?
Well, I don't think everybody else has to get involved, and I don't think that it's my place or anybody else's place to go stand outside McDonald's and tell people they're killing themselves. Just like I don't have the right to stand outside and tell people they're killing themselves when they're smoking, even though that's a choice that they're
making.
We live in a free country. And, you know, just like the point you made earlier about walking around people and people telling you that you're sinning and you're not going to go to wherever you want to go because you're not making the right decisions in your life. We live in a free country. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of religion, and you can do whatever you want to do as long as it's legal.
Well, go ahead.
Smoking is legal, and overeating is legal.
Right.
I think that the only comment I have other than that on the obesity issue is I do agree with the nurse that had called earlier because our society has demonized smoking, and
right.
That's a good thing because smoking is terrible for your health. I mean, it's silly to smoke. If you really look at it,
I'm just running out of time, so I want to get another caller in. So I appreciate everything you're saying, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think smoking is terrible for your health, and yes, but I think that you used the right word, demonize. I mean, and I think that's where we've just gotten to this whole thing where it's become almost like a religious thing. And I don't know. Yes, it's a rights, but I think more than that, I just think everybody should ought to get out of everybody else's business. You know, I just think there's just too much of this that we're caught up with. Restaurants like in Mississippi with this proposal to not serve to people who are obese. You shouldn't be able to get food at a restaurant if you're obese. Okay, well, how far are we going to go with that? And what are we going to do with it? It becomes a kind of new prohibition. I think we have bigger issues here. I hope we have bigger issues than that. If we solved all of our problems so well that that's what we're left down to is taking roles out of the hands of chubby people. That's where I am with that. That's probably where we leave it for Coast to Coast for tonight. And I'm sorry about stranding some other people on there. So tomorrow, though, on Coast to Coast, we will talk a little bit about this in the first hour. Greg McBride, the author of Just Stop Eating So Much, a very interesting book on this topic. And then after that, Jim Elvidge, electrical engineer. And we'll talk about whether or not we really are connected by something that's very much like The Matrix. Tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett, Deus Tiamat, and I do too.